Blog Talk Radio.
I would like to encourage you today to open up the Word of God as we explore the deeper meaning in each verse in Psalm 143. This is a Psalm of David that takes us through a range of emotions, but the key thing in this Psalm that I want you to take note of is the fact that when things are at their darkest, when he feels overwhelmed, he takes a moment to remember all that God has done. And if God has done it before, he can do it again. Psalm 143, verse 1 to 12. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. In this verse, the psalmist starts by calling out to God, asking him to pay attention to their prayer. They're saying something that I'm sure we have all said at some point in our lives. Please, God, hear me. I believe the psalmist has gotten to a point where there is no other hope for rescue but God. Only God is able to deliver him. Only God is able to bring relief to his distress. And so we hear this earnest cry asking for God's help, kindness, and mercy. Verse 2. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Here the psalmist is asking God not to judge them too harshly. They know that we are all sinners, but more importantly, the psalmist acknowledges that no one is able to live righteously with their own strength. And as we should, the psalmist is admitting that he has done things that aren't right, and he's asking God for his mercy and forgiveness. Verse 3. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. The psalmist is telling God about their troubles. They feel like someone is chasing them, and it's making them feel really down and sad. It's like they're in a dark and scary place, almost like they're not even alive. Now, we may not have physical enemies chasing us, but problems and challenges of life can bring us to this kind of emotional state. And so verse 4 says, "So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed." The psalmist is saying that they feel really weak and tired inside because of all the troubles. The psalmist is truly burdened by his troubles. He is overwhelmed. Verse 5. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. Here, it's almost as though the psalmist is trying to encourage himself. David is trying to remember the good times from the past when things were better. And I imagine he's doing this in order to give himself the strength to stand strong during this difficult season. Verse 6. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. David is reaching out to God. He longs for God, and in fact, he thirsts for God in the same way that dry land is in desperate need for water. Have you ever reached such a state where you are that desperate for God? Verse 7. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. The psalmist is asking God to help them fast because they feel really weak inside. Verse 8. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I've put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. I believe that this verse is in a way telling us to hold on to the morning. This too shall pass. God's love will not fail. That's why the psalmist goes as far as saying, I entrust my life. David here has committed his life to the sovereign will of the Lord. What a wonderful place to arrive. A place of total surrender, total submission. Verse 9. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. The psalmist once again cries out for rescue. He's asking God to save him from his trouble. And because God is a refuge and a stronghold in the day of trouble, the psalmist says this, I hide myself in you. Dear friend, have you hidden yourself in the Lord? Verse 10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Now, my interpretation of this is that David is now coming to a place where he is considering that perhaps God has allowed him to face this situation because God wants to accomplish something. And so if it is God's will that I should go through this, David prays that the Holy Spirit would lead him. Verse 11, for your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. The psalmist is asking God to keep them safe because of who God is. They're hoping that God's fairness will help them get out of their problems. Verse 12, in your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. The psalmist is asking God to show love by stopping their enemies from bothering them. They're asking God to defeat anyone who's trying to hurt them because they belong to God.
Now let us join together in prayer. Lord Jesus, hear our prayer today, Master. Hear our hearts cry. Lord, some of us are facing battles that we don't know how to win. So we ask you to help us. Some of us are in situations that have left us confused and unclear. So God, we ask that you give us clarity and direction. Some of us are battling feelings of loneliness and anxiety. Speak to us and comfort us, Lord. Remind us that we belong to you. Father, together with everyone listening, our prayer is that you would answer our call in the day of trouble. Our prayer is that you would be our support and pillar of strength when we call on you. Your word in Psalm 20, verses 6 through 9 says, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Others may look for answers in all manner of things, but we look to you, Lord Jesus. You are the only one who has the power to say these words in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Lord, it's only in you that we can find rest for our souls. The world may look to science, money, or even the intelligence of man, but Lord Jesus, we look to you. This world will collapse and fall, but we will rise up and stand upright because of you, King Jesus. The world will place their trust in things, in man's ability, but we trust in the God of ages, the God who has withstood the test of time. Father, even when we are not in distress, give us hearts that yearn for you. In those seasons where there are no trials, when we're just enjoying your blessings of peace, victory, and joy, even then, Lord, give us hearts that still call on you. Lord, let that be our posture, continuously calling on the great name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we trust that you will honor your word when you say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. My dear Lord, you know our heart's request. You know our heart's cry. And by faith, we thank you for answering our prayers. By faith, Lord, we praise you for your intervention. By faith, we praise you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for hearing this prayer. May your name be lifted high forever. It's in King Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. The Word of God is filled with so many invitations for us to call on Him. And He says He will answer. There's a passage of Scripture in Psalm 20, which almost reads like a blessing or a prayer over someone's life. And the central theme to this portion of Scripture is all to do with God answering us. Psalm 20, verses 1 through 9 reads, May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Selah. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. In all circumstances, I believe we should sincerely call on the Lord with hearts that are filled with faith, expecting Him to answer. How God will answer? A lot of times we don't know. How God will meet your need? We do not know. When God will answer? We also don't know. But here's what we do know. We know that the Word of God constantly tells us to call on Him. Call on Me, and I will show you great and mighty things, the Bible says.
What are your eyes focused on, dear friend? Because the thing is, if your eyes are focused anywhere else other than on Jesus Christ, then it's all negative. Everything will be bleak. But when we look at Jesus, we find peace, we find direction, we find strength, and all that we need. Now let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are looking to You today. We look to You for strength and direction. We look to You for protection and preservation. We look to You for provision, for mercy and direction. Dear Lord, we are limited. I have looked within myself for strength, but I am not strong enough. I have looked within myself for direction, but I am not wise enough. I've tried to look within myself for motivation and happiness, but Lord, true joy can only be found when we look to You. Our true purpose can only be found in You. Psalm 119, verse 36 to 38 says, Incline my heart to Your testimonies, and not to dishonest gain and envy. Turn my eyes away from vanity, all those worldly, meaningless things that distract. Let Your priorities be mine, and restore me with renewed energy in Your ways. Establish Your word and confirm Your promise to Your servant as that which produces awe-inspired reverence for You. Turn my eyes away from worldly things, Lord. Turn my eyes away from worthless things, God. And help me to have a mind fixed on Christ and eyes fixed on Jesus. Because when we look to You, when we focus on You, Master, You will turn our lives around and demonstrate that You can take us from the lowest of the low and use us for Your glory. Help us, Master, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because if we stray and wander, we will begin to look at what's around us instead of Jesus Christ. This leads us to distractions and leads us to become preoccupied with things, situations, and events that don't matter. Things that are of this world instead of those things that are eternal. Father, we are limited, whereas you are limitless. We cannot look ahead into the future with our natural eyes, so we look to the one who holds the past, present, and the future. The Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "So we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal, just brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable." Lord, we are choosing to focus on you. Not on what's around us, but on you, King Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do, for the goodness and mercy you have shown us as your children. We thank you for being so merciful and kind. You are a God who is so good and so caring. Your word tells us that you have numbered the hairs on our heads because of your great love for us. Great is your mercy. Great is your love. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Amen.
Have you ever considered what makes you feel safe? What makes you feel secured? Is it a case whereby the more locks on the door, the safer you feel? Or perhaps does your safety depend on whether you're carrying a weapon or not? Well, dear friend, I'd like to tell you that real protection, it can only be found in Jesus. The Bible has many references to God as our protector, as a shield, as a good shepherd, a fortress, a deliverer, even our shelter, refuge, and strength. Now, I'd like to share with you a psalm of protection that I hold dear to my heart. Psalm 25, verses 20 through 21. "O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you." We all need the presence of God to guard us. The enemy is after our souls. And David understood this, and so his plea to the Lord was that his soul would be guarded and secured by the Almighty God. And so at this moment, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that your soul may be guarded. May your soul be guarded against the devil. May your soul be guarded against sin. May it be guarded from deceit and every manner of evil. Now, I love that this passage of Scripture says, "May integrity and uprightness preserve me." And if you really think about what David is saying here, you'll find it to be a powerful request. Preservatives are natural or man-made chemicals that are added to foods to stop them from spoiling. Salt can be a preservative. We put food in the freezer to preserve it. Using vinegar or pickling is a method that can be used to preserve food. And the bottom line is that food preservatives also are used to slow or prevent changes in color, flavor, or texture. And so I believe that this psalm is saying, "May integrity and uprightness preserve me," meaning, may integrity and uprightness preserve my soul. May integrity and uprightness prevent my soul from being taken by sin or changed by evil. May integrity and uprightness preserve me and keep me in a pure state. Saints, I believe that we ought to pray for this kind of protection over our lives. Of course, we need physical protection from the dangers of this world, and of course, we need protection from the Lord when it comes to our day-to-day. But let me tell you that sometimes the biggest threat to our walk with God, it comes from within. Ungodly passions, idolatry, self-righteousness, anger, lust. These are all heart issues. And so I believe that we should earnestly be praying for integrity and uprightness to preserve us so that we won't be taken in or drawn to evil. A further passage that I'd like to share with you is Psalm 116, verses 1 through 9. The Bible reads, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Saints, may our Lord and Savior incline his ear to you. May you find him to be gracious and merciful. Father, I confess and I believe your word. The word that says in Psalm 91, verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. God, your word is true and everlasting. I stand in faith on this scripture. Psalm 91, verse 10. No evil will befall me or my family. No plague will come near my dwelling or my body, in Jesus' name. And even though my eyes may not be able to see it right now, Lord, I believe your word. I believe that you have sent your angels to have charge over me, to surround me and my family. You are a God who neither sleeps nor slumbers. You are a mighty and powerful Savior. And so, Lord, I trust that you will deliver me from all of my burdens and all of my frustrations. Lord Jesus, you are ever faithful. You are my hiding place. It's at this present time I have asked for your protection and for your covering over my life. I have asked for you to cover my family and my loved ones, even at this time where there is uncertainty in this world. Even at this moment where there is a lot of fear and unsettling things, I pray that you would cover us in your shadow. This life is full of many dangers, both physically and spiritually. But God, I ask you to keep me and preserve me from physical dangers like illness or injury or accidents. Father, I pray that you would keep me and preserve me from spiritual dangers like doubt and sin, false teachings and deception. Father, protect me from these threats. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would preserve my soul, preserve my going out and my coming in. You are my hiding place, Lord Jesus. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. You are my keeper, Lord, the one who watches over me and my family. I pray that as we begin each day, and even as we end each day, may we do so while under your divine care and under your protection. Father, I rely on your faithfulness. Lord, help me not to shake, not to stagger, and not to despair in my faith when things get tough or when things are intimidating. Lord Jesus, be my sanctuary. Even if the storms of life roar, I pray that you will protect and preserve me. God, I glorify you and I reverence your name. I thank you for preserving me from all evil. Lord, I thank you for preserving my soul. Thank you for preserving my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
The Bible reads in Psalm 121, verse 1 to 3. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Now let us pray. Lord, you are a mighty and all-powerful God. We enter your presence with sincere gratitude, and we reverence your name. As your children, we are thankful for your protection. Thank you for being our safe place, Lord. Thank you for being our refuge. Lord Jesus, we are thankful for your wonderful care and tender mercies. Your word tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. However, in this fight, King Jesus, we can always rely on you. We are grateful that we can rely on you as both our protector and protection. So should we face any evil opposition, we declare no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Should we face any principalities or powers of darkness, then we can stand and declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We need your heavenly protection, Father. Your word says in Psalm 34, verse 7 to 8, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Thank you for your promise of protection, a psalm that offers such a blessed hope. I pray that your angels to encamp around us and around our homes. Strengthen us so that we will be able to withstand the storms of life and any challenges that come to test us. Strengthen us to be able to withstand any attacks from the enemy. Give us the power we need to overcome the enemy's attacks. Give us peace so that we will not allow fear and anxiety to hold us back. We put our trust in you as our ultimate source of divine protection. As your children, we refuse to let anxiety or fear become our companion. Help us to trust in you and not to worry. Help us to trust in your ability to keep us safe and secure. We are blessed because I am under the care of Jehovah. We are blessed because you watch over us each and every day. We are blessed and protected because you go before us, Lord Jesus, and watch over our coming in and going out. And so, this means we will rejoice always because of you. We will put our faith in you regardless of what we're facing. We will give thanks to you in all of our circumstances. And it's all because you have a plan for our lives that is divine in purpose. Father, we trust that all of our steps are ordered by you. we have confidence in your word that tells us to approach the throne of grace boldly. Thank you for being good. Thank you for being patient. Father, I pray that I will always abide under your shadow, meaning that I am always close to you. You are always near and never too far from me. I will say to you, Lord, you are my safe place, and you are my strong tower. You are my God, and I am trusting in you to be with me always, and to be my defender now and forevermore. I bless your holy name, Lord. Amen.
Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." The Amplified translation elaborates and says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." Fear is a spirit. The Bible does not say God did not give us a feeling or an emotion called fear. No, it says he didn't give us a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear lies. The spirit of fear comes to sabotage your faith and ransack your belief. The spirit of fear is a paralyzing spirit. The spirit of fear is one of the devil's weapons of choice because of how it can consume the mind and heart of a person. As children of God, we need to know this and rebuke this spirit from our lives. In the innermost parts of our hearts, we need to be convicted, persuaded, and sure that God has given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Nowhere on that list does it say God gave us a spirit of fear. So why do so many of us accept it in our lives? Why do we fall victim to it time and time again? Pray against this spirit and rebuke it from your life, saints. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And as children of God, we ought to know this. We ought to come against the spirit by making sure we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can come against the spirit of fear by making sure our lives are anchored in God's word and in his promises. As you build your faith, you block out the spirit of fear. Fear and faith do not mix. They are complete opposites. So if you'll take just one thing away from my message today, let it be this. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He has given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind.
Fear is a liar. I say this because fear leads you to forget all that God has done. One definition of fear says, fear is false evidence appearing real. You see, fear creates a cloud that makes you think you are alone. It creates a cloud that makes you blind to God's promises and His Word. And one way fear manifests itself in today's society is in the prevalence of anxiety disorders and stress-related diseases. People are anxious about their job security. People are worried about their financial situations. People are stressed about their marriages or relationships. And do you know what all of this does? It conjures up the spirit of fear. The Bible says fear is a spirit. Now, people fear things that they cannot control. This is why Jesus invites us, or commands us, not to worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 tells us, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Jesus goes on to say in verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus is telling us to let go of the illusion that we are the ones in control, because while we are not in control, God is sovereign. He's always in control. While we don't know the future, God is already in the future. While we can't let go of the past, God is already working out your present and your future. Now, let us pray.
Father, I pray in agreement with everyone listening. We receive your word and we will not be anxious. We will not have anxious hearts. We will not have panic-stricken hearts because the hand of God Almighty is over us. The Lord of hosts watches over us. The God of the ages is our deliverer. And if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, there is no room for fear. As long as you, Lord, are with us and for us, fear has been defeated in our lives. The devil has been defeated and he has no power over us. The strength to overcome fear, anxiety, and worry comes from you, King Jesus. Give us the strength to stand in the face of opposition and in a world filled with fear and declare that Jesus Christ has not given us a spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity or cowardice, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline. I believe and declare that the Lord has given us the grace to live a life that is filled with peace and joy, with a well-balanced mind and self-control. Father, your word in Joshua 1 verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would empower us to stand when the spirit of fear wants us to fall. Give us strength and courage when the spirit of fear wants us to be weak and afraid. We are blessed and we rejoice at the knowledge that you, Lord God, are with us wherever we go. Lord, we humble ourselves. We submit and surrender to you, a mighty God. I pray that you would help us to set aside self-righteous pride. Help us to set aside any thoughts that tell us that we are strong in our own strength. Instead, we cast all of our cares, all of our anxieties, all of our worries, and all our concerns, we cast them all to you, Lord Jesus. We cast them to you because you are a God who cares about us with the deepest affection. And you continually watch over us. Your word in 1 Chronicles 28 verse 20 says, "Be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished." May your word be established in our lives. May your word be the anchor of our lives. We will not fear in Jesus' name because you, Lord, will never leave us or forsake us.
Lord, you are a mighty and all-powerful God. As your children, we are thankful for your protection. Thank you for being our safe place, Lord. Thank you for being our refuge. Lord Jesus, we are thankful for your wonderful care and tender mercies. Your word tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. However, in this fight, King Jesus, we can always rely on you. We are grateful that we can rely on you as both our protector and protection. So, should we face any evil opposition, we declare no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Should we face any principalities or powers of darkness, then we can stand and declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We need your heavenly protection, Father. Your word says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Thank you for your promise of protection, a psalm that offers such a blessed hope. I pray that your angels to encamp around me and my home and to offer me divine protection from the enemy. Strengthen us so that we will be able to withstand the storms of life and any challenges that come to test us. Strengthen us to be able to withstand any attacks from the enemy. Give us the power we need to overcome the enemy's attacks. Give us peace so that we will not allow fear and anxiety to hold us back. We put our trust in you as our ultimate source of divine protection. As your children, we refuse to let anxiety or fear become our companion. Help us to trust in you and not to worry. Help us to trust in your ability to keep us safe and secure. We are blessed because I am under the care of Jehovah. We are blessed because you watch over us each and every day. We are blessed and protected because you go before us, Lord Jesus, and watch over our coming in and going out. And so this means we will rejoice always because of you. We will put our faith in you regardless of what we're facing. We will give thanks to you in all of our circumstances. And it's all because you have a plan for our lives that is divine in purpose. I thank you today for blessing me with peace. Thank you for blessing me with a calm spirit and a heart that is not troubled. Lord, I pray that you would help me so that the things of this world may not affect me so much that they would result in me losing my peace. Grant me the grace, Lord, to face my mountains, to face my Goliath with no fear, but rather with an assured confidence that my Lord will deliver. He will uplift me and protect me from all harm. Thank you for listening to my prayer. Amen.
We need to loosen our grip on everything earthly because it is all temporal. We need to loosen our grip on our prized possessions. We need to loosen our grip on the love of money. But we need to tighten our grip on everything eternal. We need to tighten our grip on reading God's word. We need to tighten our grip on prayer. We need to tighten our grip on our love for God. We need to tighten our grip on Jesus Christ and hold on to him with a death-like grip as if our lives depended on it, because our eternal lives do depend on it. And he is worth pursuing above everything else. Keep God first, and you will lack for nothing. Let him rearrange your priorities, and he will rearrange your life. Give God the throne to your heart, and he will change your desires and enable you to be truly satisfied in him. Take a moment to think about what's important in the grand scheme of things. Everything on this earth is temporary and fleeting. None of it will last. But God's kingdom will never end. For that reason, we need to build our faith on the firm foundation that is Jesus Christ.
Matthew 22, verses 37 through 38. The Bible reads, "And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." All of Christianity can be summarized by two basic commandments: love God and love others. When you truly love the Lord, He comes before anything or anyone else. You place Him above anything or anyone else. When you love God, you put God first. You put Him first every day of the week. You put Him first in every scenario. Loving God seems like such a simple command, and yet it can be so hard for many people. But why? Well, for one, it's not something we can fake our way through. And it's not something we can just do when it's convenient for us. A true love for God, it shapes our entire lives. God doesn't just want a half-hearted commitment. He wants our whole hearts. He wants us to love Him with everything we have. So what does that look like practically? Well, it all comes down to priorities. Are you putting God first? Are you prioritizing spending time with God through prayer and the study of His Word? Are you giving yourself time in the day to slow down and simply dwell in God's presence? All of these things help us develop a deeper love for the Lord. But we have to make a conscious effort to do those things. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Often we make the mistake of putting secondary things first. Things like career, family, hobbies. These are all good things, but we must not let them become the main thing. To love God with everything you have means to consider everything else as unimportant in comparison. Our attention and our devotion must not be divided. A couple of Bible verses that make it clear that we should be placing God above all are Luke 9, verse 62. Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." To love God with everything you have means to faithfully obey Him, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's painful. It means loving our enemies, caring for the poor and marginalized, and spreading the gospel to the people all around us. And as we do, these things will bring us true joy, eternal joy. There's no room for regret or dissatisfaction in the kingdom of God. Every day we wrestle with our earthly nature. We are tempted to love the desires of our flesh more than we love God. But the Bible says that part of us has been crucified with Christ. It has no power over us. True devotion to God means we are so filled with His Spirit that our desires and God's desires become one and the same. To love God with everything you have is to live fully on mission for Him. It means being willing to give your life for the sake of the gospel. It's the least we could do for the one who gave His life for us. Jesus loved us with everything He had. Now let us strive to do the same. Now pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank You for setting the ultimate example of love Thank you for leaving the glories of heaven, taking on the form of a human being, and humbly laying down your life for my eternal salvation. You gave everything for me. You paid the ultimate price. So, Lord, how could I ever repay you? All I can do is offer my life to serve you, Master. Lord, in your mercy, you have done everything required for my salvation. All you ask is for me to love you with everything I have. It's such a simple command. And yet, because of the distractions and temptations of this world and my carnal nature, following this command can sometimes be so hard. I pray that you would give me the grace, Lord, to put you first in every sense. Give me the grace to have the presence of mind to ensure that I don't get so distracted that I have no time for you on a day-to-day basis. Yes, I have many things competing for my attention, but may the Holy Spirit help me to make the priority of my life you, Lord Jesus. And when I seek you first, all these other things, they'll be added to me. So, Father, help me to love you more. Help me to walk in agreement with your word in Galatians 2, verse 20, which says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, please reveal to me any hidden idols that are taking your place in my heart. Help me to gladly set aside anything that is hindering me from pursuing you fully. Help me to take time for the important things. Let my habits be to pray more, to read the word more, to worship you and dwell in your presence more. It's through these things that I learn to love you more. Father, let everything I do be motivated by my love towards you. Whether I'm at home all alone or on a crowded street corner, may your love overflow into my words, my actions, and my attitudes. Don't let my relationship with you become a chore, but let it be a delight. I pray that I would never lose that sense of wonder. Remind me of the beauty of the gospel. Remind me of the price you paid to win my soul to your kingdom. And if necessary, Lord, intervene in my life in a dramatic way. Do not allow me to be stuck in my ways, Jesus. Do not allow me to be blind to the areas of sin and weakness in my life. Holy Spirit, show me where I have misplaced priorities. Show me where I'm spending too much time, too much attention, too much affection on other things in my life. And help me to redirect that energy towards following and obeying you. Convict me to spend less time chasing earthly things and more time seeking you, serving you, getting to know you more. Develop in me the habits that push me to love you more. Lord, I want to love you with everything I have. I want to hold nothing back from you. I want to give you my full attention because nothing else is more wonderful, more glorious, or more worthy than you.
Dear Lord Jesus, great is your faithfulness, Lord. Great and mighty are you. Have mercy on us, Lord Jesus, as we seek to do better through the strength of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be better disciples. Help us to be better at forgiving others, at loving others, and giving to others.
Your word says in John 15:26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to do better. Help us to improve in our prayer lives. Help us to have more of an urgency about spending time alone with you, Master. Holy Spirit, help us to do better in terms of meditating on the Word of God day and night. Help us to do better as I strive to be obedient to your Word, which says in Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy to all people." I pray, Lord, that you would give us hearts that are ready and willing to do good always. Give us hearts that love with the love of Christ. Give us hearts that refuse to slander or abuse anyone, but instead, help us to be a kind people, humble and peaceful people who demonstrate love to others. Lord, we desire to grow in faith. We desire to grow in understanding. We desire to grow in wisdom. Help us to grow in all of these areas, Master. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, we trust and believe that transformation can and will take place in our lives. Where we are weak, through the strength you provide, we will be made strong. We will be able to overcome. I place my faith in what your word says, Lord, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10. "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I am thankful, Lord, that your grace is indeed sufficient for me. Indeed, your loving kindness and your mercy are more than enough for me. Your grace and mercy is always available to me, regardless of the situation, and I truly am grateful, King Jesus. May your power be perfected. May it be completed and shown to be most effective in my weakness. That way you get the glory, Lord. You get the honor. Father, your word says in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Your word, Lord, tells me that I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I am so thankful for your love, King Jesus, that even though you knew everything about me, you knew all of my shortfalls and all of my mistakes, but yet you still died in my place, opening up the way to eternal life for me. I thank you for listening to this prayer. Be magnified, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The Bible is...